So good to have all of you here this morning for our worship service here on the first day of the week. We have several who are away from us this morning due to travel because, as we say many times, it's the beginning of the summer season and a lot of families will be with us and gone doing some vacation and other things this summer. So our numbers will fluctuate now for the next couple of months, and we just have to keep that in mind. Today, we also want to emphasize, as Johnny mentioned earlier, about the Vacation Bible School that will begin this Wednesday night at Coopertown. A little differently than we've done in the past with joining for one day Vacation Bible School, as we've done with Coopertown this year. They decided to do a three-day Vacation Bible School there at their building beginning Wednesday night, I believe from 6 to 8. You see that in your bulletin. And just for the ages of basically the nursery through fifth grade. So if that is you, if that's something you would like to participate in, take your children to, that will begin this Wednesday night. So they want to make sure that we emphasize that this morning and be blessed by that. We'll have our gospel meeting in August with Coopertown, as we did back in 19. We weren't able to do it last year because of COVID, but we'll have more details about that the next several weeks. Let's go to our Father for a word of prayer before we have our lesson. Lord, we are thankful this morning that you have given us so many blessings that we cannot even count. We pray you forgive us when we only notice the days that are bad, and that we look to you and say, why are these bad things happening, when we so often do not look to you and say, why are you giving us so many good things that we don't deserve? You bless us with rain. You bless us with good warm weather. We marvel at your creation this time of year as we see the flowers grow, the crops are being planted, and the food that you provide us through those things. We're thankful for our farmers and all those who are involved in agriculture. Who bless not only people who live in this country, but people all around the world with corn and milk and meat and all the things that we have in abundance here. We're thankful for our servicemen and women. And thinking of this week, this few days, being the anniversary of the landing in France and liberating that country in World War II and ultimately succeeding in that war. And we know war is terrible. We know war is a bad thing. But we know that wars happen. We pray that the men and women who are involved in those things on behalf of this country will do things that they need to do for the purpose of peace, that peace can arrive quickly, and that those who are doing wrong will be stopped. Pray for our leaders who make those decisions. We know they're humans. At times, good decisions have been made, others, bad decisions, but we know that you can take the wrong, the bad, and things that are right and teach us lessons and help us in the future. We pray this morning that you bless those who are traveling, bless so many who are sick that we've been thinking about, be with the Moore family as they grieve, be with Christine Garrett and Ann Reed and Barrett Conifer as he's awaiting results, test results to determine if he has muscular dystrophy. We know the family is very concerned about that. Bless our study this morning, and may all that we see from your word be applied to our hearts and our minds so that we can be changed. May less of ourselves and more like Christ. Bless us this coming week, if it be your will, that we shine a brighter light for Christ than we did the previous week. Take advantage of every day that we have to live. Continue to give us mercy and grace. Forgive us when we sin. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are several passages in both Testaments that speak of things that are applicable to all men. And we're not using that word this morning to apply to males. We're talking about mankind. So as we use that word a lot this morning. Keep in mind, I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about men and women. We're very different in many regards. In most things, we're different. You look around the world, cultures are different. The way people, what people eat, the way they live, their housing, their education, their backgrounds, the civilizations, very diverse around the world. And we've said recently about the United States being a melting pot since day one. Everybody around the world has come here to be an American, but you really can't go to other countries and be who they are. But America's just a different place. It was designed to be a different place in the world. But and because of that, we have a lot of diversity. Religiously, of course, unfortunately, there's also a lot of diversity. And thinking about the various doctrines that you'll hear taught, various teachings you'll hear taught all around this country and all around the world, we know that was not the will of God. That was not the prayer of Christ. The people who followed him or called on his name would divide and fracture into different groups. And we see in Paul writing to the Corinthians, saying, I heard a message from Chloe's people that you have a lot of problems there in Corinth. And the first one he talked about is division. He said, you are dividing into loyalties to preachers. One is saying, I'm of Peter and I'm of Apollos and I follow this man and this man. He said, no. Christ is not divided. There are diversities in this world that don't mean anything, that just make the world a colorful place. There are diversities in this world that are very harmful to people's souls and should be avoided, should be rejected. We should all come under the unity of Christ and what is taught in the New Testament. But there are many passages that talk about things that apply to every single person. All men everywhere. These things apply. So just a few minutes this morning, I was to notice a few of those things that the Bible says apply to every person everywhere. Maybe you're already starting to think of those things. Then what would those things be? The Bible teaches apply to everyone everywhere. We said, well, first of all, the whole Bible does. The Bible is a message to all of man. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God desires all men everywhere to be saved, come to knowledge of the truth. We start there, of course, but we can go a little bit, narrow that down a little bit more, look at some more specific things. But I want us to begin really looking at a familiar passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. This is the passage they wrote a song about, used this popular song, I believe, from the late 1960s. There is an appointed time for everything. There is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to throw stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to shun embracing, a time to search, and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart, a time to sew together, a time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. We believe Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes due to the description in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And he wrote this passage through inspiration, not saying that all the things listed here are good. He's not giving any value to these things. He's not saying these are all things that we all need to be doing. To live the best life, you need to go to war at some point. That's not what he's saying. He's just saying that there are seasons, there are times in life where all of these things are going to happen. Right or wrong, good or bad, all these things are going to happen. There is a season for everything. And in this list, he just about named everything that can happen in life. There are just seasons. There's a time. And as you live your life, you enter those seasons. And you make a choice. Notice the contrast in each one of these verses, each one of these phrases. You're going to make a choice whether or not to embrace or shun embracing. We all know there's people you should hug, there's people you should embrace, and people you shouldn't, depending on your relationship and so forth. So you make a choice when you enter that season. There's a time you need to keep things in your house. Maybe they're valuable or good for safety or so forth. And other things you got to throw away. There's going to be a time to tear apart and a time to sew together. You make a choice when you enter into that season. You're going to make a choice to love somebody. You're going to make a choice to hate somebody when you're in that season. That's all Solomon is saying in this passage. There is a time when everything's going to happen, good or bad. You make a choice. See, then you ask yourself, okay, what are some things I need to avoid? When I enter into one of these seasons, what are some things I need to stay away from making that choice? Well, you know, we talk about junk food, just the general term we put on bad food. And whether or not you like, we all like that those foods. In some way, some form, we like them. Just look at the profits of all the fast food places and places that we would say sell junk food. They're very profitable. Americans love bad food. Even though we love it, we all also agree that where you eat like this all the time, you're not going to be very healthy. So we all agree that entering into making that choice is always the better choice to eat the better food. And that you're better off eating the things that God made that come out of the ground or come from the trees. Things that are basically on the edges of the grocery store. The middle of the grocery store are things that are boxed and artificial and preserved. Think about the edge of the grocery store, and you got your milk and your meat and your produce and all those things. Typically what God made. That's a choice. We'd all agree we don't need to eat a lot of junk food and be unhealthy. Because that's something we can avoid. We also want to avoid just basic risk. I know you have a sensitivity toward risk because you have insurance. What's insurance? Because there's a risk out there that I'm going to have a car accident. There's a risk that I'm going to get an illness. I'm going to get a disease, have to be in the hospital. I need health insurance. We, of course, unless the Lord comes again, we're all going to die. Maybe there's people living in your house depending on your income. Or in desperate situations financially, say, you know what? There's a risk in there that some people I love are going to be without if I die tomorrow because none of us are guaranteed another day. So we buy life insurance to take care of those things. We try to avoid risk. When the risk goes down, we sleep a lot better. When that insurance is in place, we say, okay, if that bad thing happens, I'm all right. No matter what you avoid, no matter what you do, there are going to be consequences. You will have to live with the result of that choice. We do this every single day of our lives. You are the result of your daily decisions. You're sitting here this morning because you woke up this morning and said, I'm going to decide, I made a choice to go to worship at Pleasant View. You're going to decide what you're going to eat for lunch. You're going to decide what you do this afternoon. And I hope that you'll decide to be with us tonight at 6. Those are choices, decisions you're going to make. You've gotten to this point in your life, not just what you decided this morning. But think about it, it's almost an overwhelming thought to think from the day you were born, your life has led you to sit in that pew this morning. Think of all the years that you've lived, all the things you've done, all the places you've gone. You've gotten to right here. You made it. All the times you think, you said, I don't think I'm going to make it. Probably in some dangerous situations at some point in your life. Diseases you might have had. Other things come up in life. I'm not going to make it. Well, you made it. You're here. You made it this far. But you could have made a lot of other decisions in life to cause you not to be sitting here. We all know people who have made poor decisions, very risky decisions, for their safety, for their health, whatever the case is, and they're not with us anymore. We are the result of daily decisions. That's every single person on this earth. You say, okay, where are we headed with this? But see, some events are unavoidable. There are some things the Bible teaches us that you cannot avoid. You cannot turn the other way. When you get into that season, when you get into that moment, when you get into that area, you will not be able to make a choice. You will have to live with what happens in that moment when you get there. You say again, boy, what would that be? The question really is, are you going to be ready for that unavoidable situation? Are you going to be ready to accept what happens in that moment? The first one I want us to think about this morning, what the Bible says applies to all men everywhere, and something that is unavoidable. We can avoid the junk food. We can avoid the risk. But first of all, the Bible says that all men, mankind, will confess Christ. You say, how in the world is that possible? No, they won't. How are all men everywhere going to confess Christ? All the Buddhists in Asia are going to confess Christ. All the Muslims in the Middle East are going to confess Christ. All the Jews in Israel are going to confess Christ. And all the other smaller religions around the world. What are you talking about? They're all going to confess Christ. I know that because the Bible says so. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Not some of the knees, not just a third of the people, not just the ones who heard a sermon about salvation one time. Every knee will bow. Of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. And every tongue, not some of the tongues, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Here, today, right now, all men make excuses. Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about the Gentiles, says they really shouldn't make excuses because the evidence of the invisible God is in front of them every single day. They are without excuse. However, Paul said that because they do make excuses. They worship their pagan gods and say the real God doesn't exist. And because of that, Paul went on to talk about all the things they did because they denied the true God. And God let them do it. So God gave them over. Sounds like he forced them. But he didn't force them. It's simply the phrasing there means God let them. He said, you don't believe I exist? You make a choice in life to live immorally. And he mentioned so many horrific sins. And he even talked about people who didn't commit the sin but approved of the sin. The last verse of chapter 1. He said, this is how they live because they denied me. It's how the choice they made is to live this way. They gave excuses about God not existing so they could live how they wanted to live. That's not going to be the case forever. That's not going to happen forever. You see, Thomas, at one point in his life, had some questions. We got doubting Thomas, had some doubts that Jesus had been raised. But when the evidence was put in front of Thomas, he said, "My Lord and my God." Paul in Romans 1 said, evidence is in front of a lot of these Gentiles right now, and all they have are excuses. We should look at the evidence. All the people, all mankind everywhere, says in Philippians 2, need to look at the evidence. And right now they make excuses. Right now they deny. Right now they say, "Oh, no. There is no God. I evolved from a monkey. I evolved from some thing that happened, some bang that happened, and things just sort of fell into place. First time, by the way, in the history of the world, an explosion created order." But that's what they're going to say. But Philippians 2 says, you know what's going to happen one day to all men everywhere? They're going to bow. Because Jesus is going to be in front of them. Just like he was in front of Thomas. And when he's in front of them one day at judgment, they'll bow. And every tongue will confess Christ. Unavoidable. They won't be able to stand there and look Jesus in the face and say, no, you're not really there. You don't really exist. You can say it here. You can say it today. But you won't say it forever. All men everywhere will confess Christ. And if they don't do it on this earth, if they don't do it now, it's going to cost them their soul. Secondly, all men will be baptized. Again, you're going to say, wait a minute. Hold up. No, they're not. All men everywhere aren't going to be baptized. Great Commission, Jesus said, they all need it. We have to go preach, so they will be baptized, but they're all not. I mean, they're not going to be baptized. What do you possibly mean by this? Well, John the Baptist was speaking in Matthew chapter 3. And John the Baptist said that everybody's going to be baptized. Beginning verses 11 and actually also verse 12, he said, John the Baptist said, "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear the threshing floor. And he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." The word baptize, we know, just simply means immerse or to dip. In itself, that's all it means. You go home this afternoon, immerse your body in the tub, immerse your body in the pool. You go and immerse the clothes in the washing machine. That's all it means. This is a word that's how they used that word in the first century. Baptize meant to dip a garment, to change its color, to put it in a dye, to immerse. And so that's how they knew. Oh, I know what baptize, baptizo means immerse, to dip. John the Baptist said, Jesus is going to come, and he's going to baptize two different ways. What he's teaching is to be baptism of the Holy Spirit. This new baptism that Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. And he said he's also in this great image of Christ. He says, with a winnowing fork in his hand, going through a barn. Just think of somebody, he's cleaning out. He's separating the chaff and the wheat. He's going to take all that wheat, he's going to save it. He's going to put it up in the barn. And he's going to take all that's left over, all the junk, all the things that are the weeds and the chaff, the part that's not used for food. He's going to take it out and burn it. two different types of baptism. You're going to be immersed as the apostles in a special way, were immersed by the Holy Spirit, and then taught that those who were baptized in Christ would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there's that way. But he's also going to immerse. Those who will be immersed are those who will be rejected, and those who will spend eternity in hell. Men will choose water or fire. Baptism. Somebody say, I'm going to miss both of them. I'm not going to do either one. I don't believe in hell. I don't believe that it exists. I don't believe that's where people go. Everybody goes to heaven except Hitler and Saddam Hussein. There's those kind of people. Only people go to hell. But no matter what I do on this earth, I know God's going to save me. And it either doesn't exist or only a few people go there, but that doesn't apply to me. So I'm going to skip that one. And I'm going to skip the baptism of the Great Commission on this earth. I'm not going to do that one either. So just like I could choose whether or not to eat junk food and choose whether or not to buy insurance, I will choose to skip both baptisms. No, you're not. You can't. The Bible says so. You have the choice to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, or you will stand in judgment and be forced on that day to experience that eternal fire. As John the Baptist said, the unquenchable fire, the fire that doesn't go out, a place of total darkness, a place of eternal fire. If God can make a bush burn without being consumed, he can make a hell that's dark and burning. That he says is made and built for the devil and his angels. Not a choice to be made there. All men everywhere will confess Christ. All men everywhere will face one baptism or the other. The third thing that we read in Scripture that applies to all men everywhere, there's a lot of things in life that do, but particularly is it applies spiritually. All men will be judged. We've talked a little bit about it already. Something can't be avoided. Well, in my opinion, the greatest sermon in the Bible that wasn't preached by Jesus was preached by Paul and in Athens, to all those brilliant people who worshiped everything as he noticed as he wandered through that city. He said, you worship all things and everything, and you sit around in the marketplaces and you listen to every philosophy. And Athens wasn't a bad idea. You had an idea you could go through Athens and teach. People listened. They said, oh, that sounds pretty good. Everything was good. Everything was acceptable. And he says, but you accept every idea and every philosophy and worship every god except the one you should be thinking about and worshiping. He said, you've got an idol here that's even inscribed to an unknown god. Oh, let me preach to you about the unknown god. And so he preaches this brilliant sermon about the fact that in God, he says, in him we live and move and exist. He made us. He's all around us. And he concludes this sermon by the closest thing we have in the Bible to an invitation. He concludes it with a therefore, one of the great summary words of the Bible. So because I said all of that, here's what I'm going to say. Here's how we are going to end this sermon. Here's what it all means. Here's why I told you this. He's basically saying all those other gods that you've been worshiping don't come with a judgment. You think it's just about the here and now and appeasing these false gods. The real God comes with a judgment. He says, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, referring to the times, of course, before the cross, the times of where God allowed certain things and winked at certain things. He doesn't do that anymore. And won't do it until he comes again. Having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. because God has fixed a day. Notice God does not fix a lot of days. God does not fix a judgment day for all individual judgment days for everybody whenever they die. When judgment day is mentioned in the Bible, it's never plural. It's always one. God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world. Not judge the bad people, not just judging the good families, the bad families, the people who heard the gospel, the people who didn't hear the gospel, the rich, the poor. No, God will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. None of the false gods worshipped in Athens had a man on earth who was raised from the dead by the power of that false god. And all of those philosophers in Athens knew it. Also, there's going to be a judgment day, and maybe to that point in that sermon, they were all nodding their heads. Fine, great, you think of that. But then he ends it by saying, you know what, ours is different than yours. You know what separates what we believe and what you believe? Is that the real God, the true living God, had a man on earth who died. And it wasn't a secret. He didn't die in some cave out in the middle of nowhere where they just rumored that he died. He was up on top of a hill in the busiest city in the world, in the Middle East at the time, for everybody in the world to see him. And there were Romans there that saw it. And there were Jews there who saw it. And he's one of the most popular people in the world at the time, maybe the most popular. It wasn't hidden, it wasn't a secret. Everybody knows it happened. Everybody knows that that grave he was put into was empty. So now do you believe that there's going to be a judgment day? Now do you believe that you will be judged? Our God has proven who he is. Yours hasn't. God has fixed a day and is declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because they'll be judged on that one day when the Lord returns. What is going to be the standard of that judgment? Called Judgment Day. Jesus said, John chapter 12, verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. Which gets to the point Jeff's talked about in class a few times lately, about some who say that the words of Christ and certain commandments don't apply to them. Well, they're going to apply in Judgment Day, according to Jesus, because he said, the word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. We judge by the word of Christ. And if that isn't a sobering statement enough, just it's hard to get back past Matthew chapter 7 and living the good, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, when our heart and our minds are also subject to being sinful. As Jesus said, you do well at these outward things, but let me also remind you that the inward thoughts and those types of things are subject to sin, being sinful as well. All men will confess Christ. All men will be judged. And so the question is, who are you kidding? Who are you kidding? We do a very good job on this earth of making others think a certain way about us, of projecting projecting to the world something, and many times is not really the truth. And we are good at rationalization. We are good at explaining away. We're good at excuses. I don't need to conform to that part of what Jesus taught, and I don't need to obey that, and that's good for other people. That doesn't apply to me. We can kid people. We can fool others. We can do it every single day. Many people are very good at that. We can't do that to the Lord. Christ gives you freedom from sin. And we are thankful every single day of our lives that we have that freedom of the guilt of sin when we've been washed by the blood of Christ. And that should be a weight off of your shoulders every single day of your life if you're a Christian. That all of the sins that you've committed be washed away, and when you stand in front of the Lord, you won't be punished for all the sins. Because Jesus died for you. But He does not give you the freedom from inevitable events. There are some things that you cannot avoid, some choices that cannot be made. We are all headed in the direction of that last day. We cannot stop the days from moving forward. As the book of Romans teaches us, we're closer to our reward, closer to heaven now than we were at the beginning. So the question is, will you confess Christ while you have this choice today? While you do have that opportunity? Will you be baptized into Christ with water for the forgiveness of your sins while you have that choice today, so you won't be baptized with eternal punishment later? Are you anxiously awaiting the coming of the Lord because you're living faithfully to Him? And like the Apostle Paul, can you say, I know there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, and not just for me, but for all those who love His appearing? If you need to make those decisions today and not wait for the unavoidable place, you can make those decisions. We'd love to baptize you into Christ. Here you confess Christ as Lord and Savior. If you need prayers this morning because your faith is weak, if you need prayers this morning because you find yourself trapped in sin, if you need prayers this morning because there's something else in your mind or your heart that needs to be addressed and just have some encouragement from faithful Christians, we'd love to assist you today in any of those ways. Whatever it is, please come while we stand and sing.